Being in the house of God as much as I am on today truly is a blessing, just to be able to open our eyes and see another day that the Lord has made. And definitely we should rejoice and be glad in it. I read somewhere the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." It is certainly a benefit to be a child of God. Amen? I'm so blessed and thankful that God has called me, one of his many manservants, to stand before you and preach unto you the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am so thankful for the opportunities afforded me by our leadership, our elders, and those who saw enough and thought enough of me to give me this opportunity. Let us not forget to pray for our brother Larry and the work that he is doing there in Sanford. That is a wonderful congregation. My family and I had the privilege of worshiping with them a few weeks ago, and it's a marvelous congregation. If you have an opportunity, we certainly shall or should support him and make it out. It's not too far of a drive, but the people there are God-fearing, loving, spiritual people and godly people. So let's continue to pray for those who have lost loved ones. We know that death is a part of life, but it certainly does hurt. And we all have experienced losing loved ones, so let's not forget to hug their necks, kiss their cheeks, as well as let them know how much we care for them. If you have your Bibles, be finding the scripture that was read in your hearing, Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. This happens to be my very favorite scripture in the Bible. For a long time, it was Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will bring it to pass. And this here has supplanted that as my favorite. Actually, that's Proverbs chapter 3 as my favorite scripture. Psalms chapter 37, verses number 3 through 5, actually. The Bible reads, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." This scripture really gives us everything that we need to know as it relates to living in this world and on this side of life. It is a promise that God will supply all of our needs, takes care of everything that we should ever desire, everything that we should want, and he gives us three simple instructions. Trust, delight, and commit. Trust, delight, and commit. It can't get any simpler than that when you think about it. And I just want to encourage you this morning, as a matter of fact, that is the topic of this lesson. Trust, delight, and commit. Certainly, we are familiar what it is to trust in something. I'm sure I'm not the only one that in times of life, if you're not currently doing this already, we tend to trust in our financial planners when they give us information and they give us advice and they say, this is where you should invest and these stocks have the best chances of going up in value and making you a profit. We trust in our bank balances. You know, we look at those balances and we feel a certain sense of security and a certain sense of stability. We trust in our teachers. You know, my son, very smart young man, both of them, my oldest son, you know, if a teacher tell him something, he runs home and he tells me and he believes it. And I applaud that, but I say, son, do the research, you know, look beyond what just the teacher said or what the book says. But we have a tendency as human beings to trust. We trust in our government leaders, the Republicans and the Democrats. We trust in the congressional people who stand before us and make promises. We trust, and I know I'm not the only one who has done this, we put our trust in the airline pilots when we get on the airlines. We're trusting the fact that we will take off from one destination and prayerfully and hopefully land in another destination. We trust in our doctors. Don't tell me I'm the only one that go in and I said, "Doctor, this is where it hurts." And he pokes and he prods and he feels here and there. And he says, "Cough and stand up and sit down." And he writes on a little piece of paper some chicken scratch that I can't even read. And I don't know how the pharmacist can read it. And I go and turn it in and I get a bottle of pills, some green, some yellow, some blue. And I take them wholeheartedly believing that it's going to heal my ailment. I'm trusting in what the doctor says. We trust in our friends. We trust in, you know, what our friends say, and sometimes hopefully what our spouses say and what our significant others say. We understand trust. The Greek word here, betach, it means to attach oneself to. It means to confide in or feel secure, feel safe. It actually means to be bold in. You know, I know in certain cultures, women will call their best friends their girlfriends, and their girlfriends are the one that they can run to and tell everything. Fellas, we don't do that. We our best friends are not our boyfriends. They're just pals. They're buddies. But you know the point I'm trying to make is that we have a tendency to trust in things, and I want to share with you this morning. I believe that trusting and relying on something can sometimes be difficult, if not dangerous. And so to avoid being misled, to avoid being given the wrong information, to avoid trusting in the wrong sources, I have decided a long time ago to live my life trusting in the Almighty God. See, when you trust in God, this type of hope, it gives you a confident expectation that what you're hoping and what you're trusting will happen will actually happen. It's the opposite of having a constant feeling of anxiety. You know, I constantly hear people on television when I happen to grab the remote and I stop watching the news because it's just so disheartening and it's just so disappointing. But I hear people say, "Oh, I'm so scared. I'm so scared of what's going to happen. I'm so scared because this leader is saying this or that leader is saying that." And it's unfortunate those people live that way, because I stand here before you as a man who I don't fear anything or anyone, because I know who has the power of the whole world. Why should we fear anyone in the world? Why should we take the word over anyone that's a human being just like us, who breathes air just like us, who has red blood in their body just like us? Well, we can go to the source and believe and trust and rely on what God has said in his word. See, to rely on something is to rely on the integrity and the strength and the ability of that person or that thing. When you sit down in a chair, you're relying on the integrity of that chair to support and hold up your weight. So I submit to you that when we rely on God, we first of all know that God cannot lie. So when you talk about integrity, who better than God holds integrity? No one. When we rely on the strength and the ability. See, in my dealings with the doctor, when I go in, I'm hoping and I'm praying that the doctor has done a sufficient amount of study and research and gone to class to perform the duties that is going to take to heal me and help me get better. But I'm relying on God to see me through. I'm relying on God to hold the doctor's hand steady when he goes in to do the procedure so that I can continue to live. So the first thing when we think about trusting is that we have to be careful. Brother Cruz did a marvelous job this morning in Sunday school teaching us that God, the first three commandments is about God. First of all, he says, "I'm the God who brought you out of bondage and out of the land of Egypt." He says, "Therefore, put no other gods before me." Second commandment is, "Erect no images or no false gods or no idols before me." I have the right to be first in your life. Can anybody here understand what I'm talking about? Has God brought you out of anything that you couldn't bring yourself out of at any point in time in your life? Has God brought you out of anything that your money could not get you out of in your life? Has God ever gotten you out of a place where your friends didn't have the right advice? Your friends didn't have the right encouragement? You were in such a sunken deep place that only God in prayer could get you out of that place. We have to be careful that we don't put anything before God when it comes to our relationship with him, or even as Christians, we run the risk of committing idolatry. We tend to believe that idolatry is only worshiping idols and statues. That is not the case. Let me give you a working definition, young folks, of what idolatry is. Idolatry is when you allow anything or anyone to usurp the position of power or of authority that should only be reserved for God. That is idolatry. We can idolize our automobiles. We can idolize our homes. Say amen when you can. We can idolize all the accolades that we receive and the degrees on the wall. We can idolize our intelligence. We can idolize the bank balances. Yes, we can. We can begin to put that stuff before God and forget without God, there would be none of that. I'm just trying to help you understand how to live a carefree life. When this really touched my spirit and my heart, it just allowed me to live a carefree, stress-free life. Because regardless of what I see around me, ultimately I'm trusting in God to see me through. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land and you will be fed. It sounds to me like God said, if you trust in me, I will provide for everything you need. There's some folks in our world who don't eat as well as we eat. My son say, Dad, so-and-so at my school is rich. I said, how you know? Because he has this and he has that. I said, son, just because somebody's parents can buy them certain things doesn't mean they're rich. I said, heck, by third world country standards, we're rich. I said, you have multiple outfits. You don't know what it's like to miss a meal. You have church shoes, play shoes, sports shoes. We are rich. And what we cannot forget is everything that we have was given to us by who? By God. I know you think it's because you get up and go to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week and you put in overtime and you're the first one to get there and the last one to leave and you have all your assignments turned in on time and you never miss a project. I know that's what you believe. But without the ability of God, none of that would happen. So we have to understand that we have to trust in God. Second of all, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, isn't that interesting how we run around, we're trying to accomplish all of these things, and we set out goals. You know, I don't even make goals anymore. I decided I'm not going to make a list of goals, although I've been taught that and I've been trained, and all the best-selling, motivational, inspirational authors say, you need to make goals. I don't make goals anymore. I make a list of the desires of my heart. Because the Bible tells me if I delight myself in the Lord, he will give me the desires of my heart. And because God cannot lie, guess what? I have a guarantee that what it is that I'm asking for, as long as it doesn't violate my relationship with God, as long as it doesn't cause me to sin or turn my back on God, I stand a good chance of receiving what it is I'm asking for. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Well, what does it mean, Brother Hall, to delight thyself? Some of us have dated before. I know I'm not the only one that has courted a young lady. If you have married, chances are you've dated and you courted someone. And ladies, if you're married, you've been courted. It's interesting that this word actually means to be soft. The Hebrew definition of delight is to be soft. It means to be easily bent or to be flexible. Isn't it interesting how so many things around us in this life can get us to be easily bent or persuaded? I don't know about you, but I tend to yield for certain things. I tend to yield. I delight in certain things. I have a tendency to take pleasure and enjoyment and great satisfaction in certain things. I know I'm not the only one. Millions of folks, if not hundreds of thousands, were glued to the television set the other night when Duke played UNC. It's the greatest rival in college basketball. People leave work early. They have parties. My street was full of cars, people having parties. Why? Because they delight in their favorite sport team. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. I delight in things. I delight in ice cream. Sometimes ice cream causes me to yield, and I'm easily persuaded. I know I'm not the only one. T sent me in the store the other day, and the boys were in the car, and I forgot what I went into the store to get, but I know I came out with some butter pecan ice cream. And I also came out with some chocolate mint for Aaron. Why? Because I passed down the aisle and it was like the ice cream was calling me, so I yield. My point is, sometimes we yield to sin. I'm not saying ice cream is sinful. What I'm saying is, if you think about it, we delight in many things. We delight in fishing, some of us. We delight in hunting. We delight in you know, golf. All of us have certain things that bring us great joy and satisfaction. Things that just make us excited, you know, about life. I know I'm not the only one, but David is encouraging us to delight thyself in the Lord. Be excited about, take great pleasure in, you know, have a great sense of enjoyment in what God can do for you. And if you do that, the Bible says, guess what? I don't think y'all getting this, so I'm gonna come a little bit closer. Is that okay? We family. Can I get close to you? The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. Now think about it. If you're here today, it doesn't matter what the weather is. It doesn't matter what you drive. It doesn't matter what you wear. You're breathing. You got plans to go have a meal after this. You probably have the means to go have a meal after this. So we delight in certain things. But let's be careful that what we do not do is not delight in the Lord. Can I help you understand? And don't be mad at me. Like the old timers used to say, don't shoot the messenger. Is that right? Don't beat up the mailman. If the only time you pick up your Bible and read it and study it is on Sunday when you come in here, you're probably not delighting in the Lord. If you have to be prodded and jolted and admonish young folks and encourage to come back to worship in the evening time, you're probably not delighting in the Lord. Just think about it. If the only time that you pray or talk to God is before every meal, you probably are not delighting in the Lord. See, because of things that we do take delight in, nobody has to force us or push us to do it. There's folks who were preparing for the all-time basketball rival a week before it was even played. Man, I remember going fishing with my dad, and my dad loved fishing, and my mom, and I loved going with them. But the tackle and all the bait and everything would be purchased and prepared and set up days in advance before we even took the trip. We lived outside of Los Angeles, California. We used to drive an hour and a half sometimes to San Pedro or Port Hueneme to go fishing, and we would leave our house at 4 o'clock in the morning just to get on the boat that left at 7:30. So needless to say, I think my dad took great delight in fishing. What I'm trying to get you to understand is, don't wait until you need something from God to talk to God and tell him you need something. God already knows what we need. And the Bible said in verse number 3 that if we trust him and we do good, we will prosper. And in verse number 4, he says that we delight in him and we put him first and we keep him first, he will give us what it is that we desire. That's good news. Some of y'all look at me kind of funny, but to me, that's good news. Because now I don't have to rely on my supervisor to give me a promotion. Now I don't have to rely on my boss to acknowledge my contribution to the company to pat me on the back and give me a raise. Now I don't have to figure out when are my children going to stop giving me headaches and start doing what I asked them to do the first time. Because I'm just going to trust God to work it out. And y'all laughing, but it works. Implement this into your life. Start giving God as much attention and as much of your passion and mind, body, and soul that we do some of these other things, and watch what happens in your life. I promise you, you will see the difference. He goes on to say, let me get back to the courting thing. I didn't forget that. When I was courting T, we lived about 40 minutes from each other. I would make that drive gladly. Now, in L.A., 40 minutes is actually like an hour and 40 minutes because of traffic. But the reality is, from the first time we met, we've never been apart. We became the best of friends, and it's been that way for almost 20 years. But see, I would not have made that drive for someone that I didn't delight in. Does that make sense? I remember we'd go after Bible study. It would be Wednesday nights. We'd go to a Krispy Kreme, and she called it Hot Now. If the light was on, she said, let's go to Hot Now. Now, you know, when you're young, you don't have a lot of money. You know, you count your quarters and your nickels, you know, and I'm just trying to win this girl over. So on Wednesday, if the sign was on Hot Now, I got to make it a way to get over there and get us some donuts. We will do what needs to be done for the things that we delight in. Am I right or wrong? Men, do our wives not have a special place in our hearts? Will we not pick up the socks and move the cup and put down a seat and close the door for our wives more so than we would do it if we lived by ourselves? Can we be honest? All I'm saying is God wants that same type of love and attention and position in our lives. And you know what? He deserves it. He deserves it. We would not have the degrees if it wasn't for God. We could not have gotten to the institutions of higher learning if it was not for God. We would not drive the cars that we drive if it was not for God. We would not live where we live. We couldn't look this good and smell this good if it was not for God. Have you ever thought about, I think about this, and sometimes it really touches my heart. Why me, God? Why me? Why have you blessed me so immensely? I could have been born in a country where war was constant and blood shed and bombs were the norm. Have you ever thought about that? We could have been born in a country where we're eating locusts. As Brother Cruz said, it was like a necessity to survive or something. We'd eat bugs and stuff. But no, we live in America. We worship in a building with air conditioning and with heat. I'm not trying to be simple. I'm trying to give you perspective. Because oftentimes, if we're not careful, brothers and sisters, we can take God for granted. And I don't know about you, and unfortunately, I have a wife, she doesn't take me for granted. Nor would I never take my wife for granted, because she means too much to me. But on the same note, my wife knows she takes second position to God. My boys know. They take second position to God. God gave them to me. But they know they will never usurp the authority nor take the position of preeminence that is only reserved in my heart for God. Finally, look at verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. He says, trust also in him. So trust, in my opinion, has to be pretty significant and important. Because in verse number 3, he says, trust in the Lord. And then in verse number 5, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. And what? Trust also in him. So trust must be pretty high on God's list of things that he wants from us. I remember in I think it's John chapter 20, verse number 29, after Jesus had been risen, and Peter said, well, I have to see him to believe it. I won't believe it unless I see it. And what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, you know what? Blessed are you, Peter, for you have seen and you believe. He said, but even more so are they that are blessed who have not seen and yet they still believe. I've never seen God, and I don't think any one of you ever have. I've never heard his voice, but I know he's real. I know he exists. And so it's easy for me to commit my way unto him and to trust in him, especially when I know that he shall bring it to pass. Well, Brother Hall, what is it? The Bible doesn't say. My study did not clarify. It did not specify what it is. So what does that mean to us? It can be what it is that you're seeking. Your it can be better health, a relationship being mended, children being obedient, a better a job, a better living situation. God is like, it's like when he says a certain man or a certain woman. He doesn't have to specify, because it's all encompassing. It's whatever it is that we need. God says, guess what? Commit your way to me, and I'll make sure that that gets taken care of. That's powerful. That's powerful. That will keep you from having to bow down to men. That will keep you from putting anyone above God. When you realize that the promises, anybody in here other than me, I used to be a, what's it called, infomercial junkie. Can we be honest, am I the only one? Okay, I'm the only one, that's okay. Let me tell you what an infomercial junkie does. An infomercial junkie, and this was like in my younger years, they'll stay up late night and these infomercials will come on. And they got these people that talk really energetic and fast, and they make all these promises about what the service, and TV, I think as we guys met, T said, baby, stop buying that stuff off TV. But the infomercial, he looks and he's being sold on the fact that this service or this product is going to deliver a certain desired effect or a certain result that they're looking for. And you know what would always would get me when I watch these infomercials? Anybody? The guarantee. Yeah, think about it. Ladies, come on. I know I'm not the only one in here. A bunch of you guys have stuff you've never used sitting in your kitchen right now because of the guarantee. You said, well, if it doesn't work or if I don't like it, I got 30 days to send it back. Remember that? And some of them got smart and said, you know what? We're going to give you a 60-day money-back guarantee. And they know that a lot of times you will forget that you even bought the thing in 60 days, and past 60 days, you can't send it back, give it back. Well, I have a bunch of stuff. I used to have a bunch of stuff in my garage that I would buy that stuff, spend way too much money, never use it. It didn't work. I never sent it back. But you know what got me? The money back guarantee. You know what we have here with God? A guarantee. Notice the language. He says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and truly thou shalt be fed. Truly, thou shalt be satisfied. Truly, all your needs will be met. Truly, you don't have to sit up and wonder, when am I going to get a man? When am I going to get a boyfriend, a girlfriend? You don't have to worry. You just know that it's coming because God said it, and he cannot lie. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, I know this is true. Not only will God give you the desires of your heart, in some cases, God will give you a new heart. Amen. But you have to trust him. You have to delight in him. You have to commit to him. One of the third Ten Commandments says, I'm a jealous God. That's powerful. Have you ever dealt with someone that's jealous? I have. That's dangerous. Even if you're a man, to deal with someone who's jealous, that, you know, you get kind of scared. You don't know what a jealous person might do, right? God says, I'm a jealous God. The Bible warns us, don't mess with another man's wife because, you know, nothing's going to suffice that passion and that fire that he wants to get revenge when he's jealous. God said, look, just treat me the way I deserve to be treated. And let me show you how you know you can delight in God. You know, Larry preaches about 30, 35 minutes, right? And he does a great job. But I'm going to preach about an hour this morning. If you delight in God, I'm just playing. All jokes aside, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, don't let worship service be the only time that you come before God in a prostrate position, bowing down, recognizing his superiority. Make it a daily habit. When you have a problem, instead of the first thing you do is jump on the phone to tell somebody that you think really cares about your problem, talk to the one who not only cares about your problem, but has the ability to go out in front of your problem and make a way to work that problem out. Let's stop acting like we don't know that God knows the beginning to the end and back. He's God. He knows everything. So acknowledging or asking God for help in your problem is just your way of knowledge, letting him know, God, I acknowledge your presence in my life. He already knows. He knew I was going to get congestive heart failure long before I did. He made me, but he also made a way to keep me in this place called life. So all I'm saying is, don't have this casual, cavalier, nonchalant relationship with God. Give him what he deserves in your life. And when I first studied this, you know, I said, it's interesting that it's all about God, right? Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it back. I said, it's interesting. This is all about God. But when you think about it, it's really all about us. Notice, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So what? So we shall dwell in the land. So if we trust in God, who gets the benefit? We do. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of our heart. So if we delight ourselves in God, and we get excited about God, and we get passionate about God, and we just have this overwhelming love affair with God, who gets the benefit? Who gets what they want? We do. If we commit our way to the Lord and we trust in him, who gets the benefit? Who gets what they're looking? Who gets that it? We do. So it was brought up in Bible class last week. Is God selfish? Because he asked us to give him everything, all of our mind, all of our body, and all of our soul. My answer is still no, he's not selfish. Because when I'm asking my son, son, read, son, do this, clean up, give it your best, do more than I ask, work hard in school, pay attention, you know, when I'm telling him to do certain things, take out the trash before your mom asks you. Don't do your chores half-heartedly. Do them correctly. He don't understand it, but I'm telling him to do these things for whose benefit? His. What is my job as a parent? To keep him safe. To supply all of his needs. Our relationship with God should be no different. But it's to his benefit. Because I told him at 18, son, you got to enroll or enlist. I'm preparing you how to fly. And be thankful, son, you get 18 years. Son, let me put an S on it. Because animals, some of them only get 2 years. Some animals get a few months and they got to go, kicked out the nest. And so I just want you to think about this when we leave here this morning, which is very soon, that God actually has made a way for all of us to live a joyful, peaceful, happy, fulfilled life. But we have to give him what he asked for first in exchange for that life. It doesn't say trust in social media. It doesn't say trust in the gossip column. It doesn't say trust in the women on The View. You didn't think I knew about that, huh? Yeah. Man, Whoopi Goldberg can't tell me how to get to heaven. Joy Behar and those people, those are nice people. They can't tell us how to live. And why would we take advice from people who I don't know, maybe you know if they're even Christians or not. Think about it. We have to be careful about who we take information from and who we listen to, especially when we have the very source of everything that pertains to life and godliness. I'm not worried about my finances. I don't have enough money to worry about. I don't have enough money. If I lose, I mean, I'm not losing much. But I know what? If I do lose it, God can give it back. We learned that from Job. Did we not? So if you're here this morning, all I'm saying is that the things that may keep you up at night, the things that may cause anxiety in your life, the things that you're stressing about, you can't sleep over, man, let that stuff go. Trust in God. Larry's not here, but when he comes back, ask him. Every time we stand before you as a mouthpiece for God, every time, we're nervous. If you get up and you preach to God's people about God and you're not nervous, watch out. Something's wrong. You know why? I'm delivering you the most powerful and precious message known to man. And these are not my words. I'm just an earthen vessel. So if I mess this up and don't tell it to you exactly how God has revealed it to all of us, I'm in a lot of trouble. But I trust God, and I pray to God, God, speak to your people through me. Help me to remember what it is I prepared so that I can deliver it to them as you've delivered it unto me. I delight in God's word. I wake up every day. If I open my eyes, I'm just singing a song. Sometimes T and the boys tell me I sing too loud. I don't sing good. I know I don't sing good. But it's a joyful noise. I never proclaim to sing good. I'm not like Brother Dan or the rest of the brothers, but it's a joyful noise to me. The Bible says, is any merry among you? What? Let him sing. I'm happy and I'm joyful and I'm joyous because of Psalm chapter 37, verses 1 through 5. And if you're here this morning, you haven't been living that kind of life, just repent right there in your seat. Make up in your mind, you know what, God? I'm not gonna kick against the pricks anymore. I'm not gonna fight you on this. I'm gonna give it to you and trust you. Because whatever the outcome is the outcome that you will have in my life, and I'm okay with that. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you're not a member of that blood-bought institution that Jesus died for, this is your opportunity. At the Church of Christ, every time the gospel is delivered, every time the message is spoken, there's an invitation to you to come to God and trust in him. You've heard the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul talks about you've heard the gospel, the fact that Jesus lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. Romans 10, 17 said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you've got to hear it. You've heard it. Now, if you believe it, like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, he asked Philip, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? He said, if you believe, nothing. And they went into the water, the Bible says, and came up together, and he went about his way saved and rejoicing. So if you believe it, the third thing you do is confess, or you repent, rather. You repent. I made mistakes. We all make mistakes. I've sinned. We've all sinned. If there was anybody perfect who never sinned, then Christ wouldn't have had to die. All you have to do is repent. The Jewish folks in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and all the other men that were there, that were came together and there was a symbol. When they realized, yes, that was the Christ we put on the cross. What can we do to get this right? They couldn't go back and undo what was done. Peter said, repent and be baptized. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we repent, we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32, Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, we confess, and then we live a life of confession. We acknowledge God. That's what this whole text is about, acknowledging that God is who he is. The problem is some of us, we know what God said, but we sometimes live like we don't know who he is. And if that's your situation, then you're not living all the way up to your spiritual potential. And then we be baptized. Baptized saved us, saves us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, it gives us the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, 37 and 38. It adds us to the body of Christ. I'm glad nobody can join the Church of Christ. I'm glad. And I'm glad no one can kick anybody out of the Church of Christ. The Bible says that we have to be added based on our obedience to this word. And if you trust him, then you have no problem obeying. But if any of that is your desire, now is the acceptable time. And we want to pray for you, want to help you. We have elders on hand to hold your hand, give God your heart. If you need better understanding, that's what we're here for. But don't live another day not knowing, if I die, will I go to heaven? You can't afford to take that risk. Amen? Let us together stand and sing.
We can walk with the Lord in the light of his word.
Trust and know. 391. Remind everyone that there is a service taking place this afternoon at 3:30 at the Perry-Brigham Center, which is right next door. If you can support that, that would be great. It's 3:30 this afternoon. We'll be meeting again this afternoon at 5 o'clock for worship and then 7:30 on Wednesday for Bible study. We'll continue to do with us then. Sing the first verse, number 391. Then we'll be dismissed in prayer.
Come to you with bowed heads and humble hearts. We appreciate everything you've given us, even when at some moments we don't show it. We thank you for the wonderful message that was brought to us by Brother Anthony Hall, and that we be able to remember that the love and joy that we should have for you should be on display every day, not just for show for others, but also in the privacy of our homes. Help us that we continue to let others know about your word and be a beacon of hope to them. Help us that we'll be able to show love to others aside from any prejudices or biases that we may have learned throughout our years, that we all need to remember that every living being is one of your creations. Help us that we'll continue to remember the blessings that you've given us, and in the moments of doubt and fear, that we remember that without you, the sun will never shine. Hold us and guide us as we leave this building, that we'll be able to come back safely at the next appointed time. In your son's name we do pray. Amen.